Thank you all for coming. I'd like to start with introductions, and we'll start here at the head table. We'll start with with Rex and work around. Okay.
Hi. I'm Rex Ransom, the current treasurer, and I live on the highest hill in El Segundo.
I'm Roger Peterson, vice president.
I am Marlene O'Neill, president.
Rob Turner, recording secretary.
The corresponding secretary.
Yeah, we don't have.
No, I don't think there's anyone in our court.
And there's two other folks on my row.
It's on court.
To my right is.
Okay.
Steve Ford, Fabian Chapter.
And to my left.
Down in San Francisco Chapter. Sandra Fanta, San Francisco Chapter.
Hey, Sandra.
Yeah.
Gloria Broderick, San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
John Ross, President,
Greater Bakersfield Chapter. All right.
Mike Keithley from
Silicon
Valley.
And that's it.
Okay, I think I counted like 12. I don't know. I lost count.
Do you have a quorum?
Do we have a quorum? Can someone take count?
What'd you ask for?
Take account of, well, we have
quorum is.
Isn't it 2/3?
No.
Oh no.
It might even be less than 1/3.
I don't know.
We got 42 members.
We've got 42 members.
The Constitution says so.
Could be 1/3. We have 14 people here. 14.
Yes.
I believe the Constitution says it's 20%.
20%?
I think it's 20% of the membership.
No, isn't it for the people that are here? You don't have to count the people that aren't here. The people are here.
No, it's a percentage of the.
I think it's 20% of the.
20% of the whole membership.
Of the whole membership, and we've got 42.
Got more folks just came in. So.
We got it.
Who are they?
Who are the new people? The people that just came in?
Alice Parkins.
Okay, hello. Okay, I think we've got it. Okay. First of all, before Linda Perrell, our corresponding secretary, will be coming around and she'll ask if you want to contribute to the Braille Challenge. And this is how we pay for the person's transportation to the Braille Challenge because they don't get that paid for. So whatever you can contribute, it would be very welcome. So she'll just be coming around just very quietly and ask what you'd like to contribute. Could be anything.
We'll take some from the treasury.
Yes?
Some people came in that might not know. There were 65 students at the Braille Challenge in June, and there were 27 test sites to get them here. So that's how much Braille is being emphasized in various parts of the whole country. It's
great.
By far the best thing that's happened to Braille in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So and when you put something in the envelope, nobody will know what you put, so don't feel embarrassed if you can't put much.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the economy as it is, it's kind of hard to do anything. Okay. We did introductions. Okay, reading of the minutes, Rob.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay. So we've got membership meeting minutes, April 11th, 2008. The meeting was called to order by President O'Neill at 9 o'clock a.m. Attendees introduced themselves by name and chapter. The fall membership meeting minutes were approved as read with minor corrections. John Ross, president of the Greater Bakersfield chapter, collected money toward our contribution to the Braille Challenge contest. Winifred read the treasurer's report in Rex's absence. The balance as of October the 12th, 2007, was $2,009.65. Our total income was $1,060. Our total expenses were $705. Our ending balance was $2,364.65. The treasurer's report was approved as read. Kathy Skivers moved to send a thank you letter to Lynn Laird for her generous discount on embossing the Braille Writer newsletter. It was seconded by Doug Martin. The motion passed without opposition. Winifred presented the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report. Proposed changes include: the recording secretary shall prepare minutes within 60 days of meetings and submit them to the president and newsletter editor. These draft minutes would be included in the newsletter. Corrections and additions would be made at the next BRLC membership meeting. Another change. Section 6 concerns the election of officers. The delegate and alternate delegate to the BRL, the Braille Revival League Convention, that's the national, would be elected at the spring membership meeting. Next change. Article 7 concerns committees. The hang on a minute. Sorry about that. Okay, committees. The proposed change would reduce the nominating committee from 5 to 3 members. The president and vice president would be ineligible to serve. The committee would be appointed by the president at the fall convention in odd-numbered years. The parliamentarian position would be eliminated. And finally, the adoption date would be moved from the end of the Constitution to a more appropriate location. The above changes were recommended by the Board of Directors and approved by the membership. There was discussion of changing the number of consecutive terms for officers from 2 to 3. No consensus was reached. The next item on the agenda was fundraising. The Sacramento chapter was not able to sell their Save Energy t-shirts, so that fundraising idea was dropped. Wynn suggested a raffle with money as the prize. This will be taken up by the fundraising committee. Elections. The slate of officers chosen by the nominating committee was President Marlene O'Neill, Vice President Roger Peterson, Treasurer Rex Ransom, Board Position 1, Paul Borelli. Marlene O'Neill, Roger Peterson, and Rex Ransom were all elected by acclamation. Paul Borelli won the election for Board Position 1. He was opposed by Keith Johnson, who was nominated from the floor. John Ross collected $386 toward the Braille Challenge contest. Debbie Berry agreed to write a profile of Paul Borelli for the next issue of the Braille Writer. Marlene and Roger will represent BRLC at the Braille at the BRL National Convention in Louisville. Marlene as delegate, Roger as alternate delegate. The business meeting was adjourned at 10:15 a.m. Roger introduced John Glass to speak on the Braille Plus. It is based on the icon from Level Star and sold by the American Printing House for the Blind. The founder and developer, Mark Mulcahy, worked for Blazy Engineering, Sun Microsystems, and Microsoft. The Braille Plus is called a mobile manager. It is approximately the size of a Braille and Speak. It has a telephone-style keypad with six added Braille keys along with Shift and Alt keys. It features several applications, including email, web browser, audio player, recorder, and book reader. When fully charged, the battery lasts from 8 to 10 hours. For more information on the Braille Plus, go to www.aph.org. Okay, let's see. Respectfully submitted, Recording Secretary Rob Turner.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Entertain a motion that the minutes be accepted as read.
Who was the minutes be accepted as read?
Who was that?
John Ross.
John Ross. Any second?
Second.
Who was that?
Albert Contreras.
Albert Contreras. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried. Okay. The next is the Treasurer's Report. Rex, you want to comment on that?
Sure. Yeah. This is Rex Fransom, the current treasurer. I made out a treasurer's report and I sent it to some people on the board here, but I did not bring a copy to this meeting. I've just lost it. So anyway, I have it at home, but I didn't bring it. And I will reissue it, and it'll also be noted.
I will record it in the minutes.
In the news. Thank you, Rob.
Okay. It's all right, Rex. Thank you. It's fine. Okay. The next item is, Rex, while you're there, the resignation of Rex.
At the last board meeting, I resigned my office. If we could find someone else to take over, and John Ross has stepped up to the plate and said he would like to take over as treasurer. And so I presume Marlene will have an election here.
Yes.
quite quickly. And
yeah, we will have that.
But it's been great working with everybody, and I'll still be here at the conventions. Thank you.
Roger, or Rex, I want everybody to know how hard Rex has worked. He He was efficient on every detail. I've got emails to prove it. And he would, anytime there's a question, he would call or he would write. And so I want everybody to acknowledge Rex for doing such a wonderful job.
He's a hell of a guy for a sighted person.
Yeah, that's it, Rex.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And we hope that you know, things will be a little easier for you. I know you had a lot on your plate. And we're so glad that you're still going to be with us. So we'd be lost without you. So thank you very much. I'll miss all your jokes too. You got to keep sending those jokes.
I
like those jokes. Okay. Constitution and bylaws update, if any. Wynn, would you like to comment on that?
Okay. You may remember that we sent out ahead of time in the spring some suggested changes in the Constitution and asked you to study them and decide whether you wanted them or not, and you all voted for them. And then we said we would redo the Constitution completely in some manner by fall and have these new articles put in it. In the meantime, Roger went to the national BRL meeting and was given the task of redoing their constitution. I blithely thought I could do something with ours, but I have no background in constitution writing or in parliamentary procedure either. So after I checked with Roger on some of the things I was going to omit to get it down from 27 pages to about 12, I thought, I realized that I really couldn't do that because he said, well, no, those things are usually in constitutions. You don't really want to take that out. My object was to get the thing as short as possible, and that's not the way a constitution should be written. So Roger and I have talked about it, and we're going to work on it more. But the articles that you did pass in the spring, if you want me to, I can put something in the next Braille Writer that, although you had them in the spring and you passed them all, but if you really want to have them again, I'll put those in. I wouldn't think that's necessary, but that's up to you.
No, it's okay. No.
Okay. Do you want me to do nominations committees while I'm here?
Yes.
Okay. Rob and I and Jill O'Connell were on the nominating committee. And this is the nominating slate that we agreed upon. We wanted to suggest John Ross as treasurer. Rob Turner said he would continue to be recording secretary. Linda Perrell said she would continue to be corresponding secretary. And is Keith Johnson in the room?
No, he's not feeling well.
Oh, gosh.
He's not well.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I mean, for now, he's
ill. Well, anyway, he agreed in the spring. We usually have one board member from the northern part of the state and one from the southern, and he agreed to be the board member from the southern part of the state. So he's our nomination for board member position two. Jill O'Connell goes off the board at this point. So now, do you want to call for nominations from the floor and all that stuff, Marion?
Is this when we're having the elections?
I'm sorry?
Well, we'll do the elections now then, since we're doing that.
I was just asking her if she had the elections as next item on the agenda.
No, but since she's here, I think we'll do it.
Do you want the microphone or do you have one?
No, I've got one.
Okay.
Okay, we've got corresponding secretary, recording secretary, and the treasurer and the board member one. Is that right or two?
I think it's two.
Okay. So we'll start with the recording secretary. Rob Turner has been nominated on the slate. Are there any nominations on the floor? Are there any nominations from the floor?
Turner for secretary, right?
A secretary, recording secretary. Okay. I'll start again. Are there any nominations from the floor?
Acclamation, somebody.
Are there any nominations from the floor?
Somebody should nominate by acclamation so we can get through with this.
Hearing none?
I move that we close nominations and elect him by acclamation.
Okay, Roger. move that we close nominations and vote Robert on an acclamation. Who seconded?
John.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? You got it, Rob. The next item, or the next person item, Linda, I'm sorry. The next person to be elected is the corresponding secretary, and Linda Perella has been nominated. Are there any nominations from the floor? Are there any nominations from the floor? Are there any nominations from the floor?
Second.
Okay, who moved?
Albert.
And Larry?
Yes.
Seconded. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? You got it, Linda. Okay.
Easy job with a nice title.
Yeah. Okay, now we have...
it's a new constitution.
Treasure.
Give you a whole lot of jobs.
Yeah, we will. Okay, the treasurer. The nomination is for John Ross.
This is for
a new treasurer.
For a vacancy.
Okay, it's not the whole term.
Treasurer would not normally be up at this point.
No. So John has been nominated to fill in the vacancy for Rex Ransom. Okay.
Doing by acclamation.
Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor?
I can't do it for the chair of the committee.
Okay. Albert moved that John be elected by acclamation. Who seconded?
Larry.
Larry. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? You got it. Okay. The next one is board member 2. And Keith.
How do you do that when he's not here?
Can we do that?
He's already.
Did he say he'd do it?
Yeah, he already said he would do it.
Then we can vote him in.
But I didn't know he was unwell. Whether this is an unwell that's going to continue, I don't know.
I think it's just a temporary.
Okay.
Okay.
But he can run.
Yeah. Sure. Keith Johnson has been nominated to be board member 2. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor?
I move the nominations to be closed.
Okay, who is that?
Larry
Freeman. Ray, I have to recognize people's voices. Ray Freeman. Anybody seconded? Albert Contreras. Thank you, Steve. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? He got it.
You can see, guys, why I wanted to take out of the Constitution this thing about contested elections.
Yeah.
We should be lucky enough to have a contested election. Okay.
Okay.
We do sometimes.
We do. Okay. Now that when you got to stay up there because the next one is Braille Challenge.
I spoke a little bit before about the Braille Challenge. I think probably you all are familiar with it. In the Braille Writer that came out in August, we published a letter that was sent to Rex by Albert Burkhart at Braille Institute. No, it's David Burkhart. Anyway. I'm sorry?
Never mind. I said Leslie Braille.
Leslie Burkhart, she said.
Well, I thought he signed his name David. Anyway, it talked about the person who was given our transportation money. She's from Michigan. Her name is Jordan, Jordyn. And he told us quite a bit about her. She's 14 years old. She's a very interesting person. She's quite athletic and an very good student. She's been in the Braille Town several times. In the next issue of the Braille Writer that comes out in the spring, I've gotten a number of articles from Google on different people in the five categories, different people who won them, and I'll put some of those there so that you can see what we're doing. I really do think it's the best thing that's happened to Braille. I can't remember anything as good, really, because most of these kids are in a school where they're the only blind person. They've got an itinerant teacher who comes by a couple times a week, and that's how they're taught to read Braille. And there's the best teacher of the year from at the Braille Challenge was also chosen, and there's a little mention of him in the Braille Writer too, and I'm going to find out more about him if I can. But I was told that he gets the parents of the kids involved so that they're not getting just an itinerant teacher twice a week, but somebody that's reminding them every night about what to read and reading with them and that sort of thing. And it's really a very successful effort that he makes. So anyway, these are the things that we're backing with our funds, and we did have a really good contribution last year. We're not voting any money from the board this year because trying to keep this organization financed is really an issue, and I hope that later on we can talk a little more about that. Should I talk about the Braille Writer?
Yes, it's on the next on the agenda anyway.
Okay. The Braille Writer, the last time I goofed and I didn't put in the board members sheet, and reminding you several times that there were two treasurer's reports and doing all this, and I left the whole thing out. Anyway, you all got a copy. And I want to assure you that you didn't have to pay for that. I paid for that to Lynn Laird, and she's wonderful. She also gave us a big break on the whole Braille Writer. And we did use the 11 by 11 and a half sheets to try to make save a little money. She thought it would be a third more if we had used the smaller sheets. We all like the smaller sheets. I do too. But how do you feel about that? Do you want us to continue to use the 11 by 11 and a half?
I think you can.
I think it's fun.
Make a motion that we continue with the 11
okay.
by 11, 11 and a half.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor by Rob Turner, and Linda has seconded that we keep continuing using the 11 by 11 and a half sheets to publish the Braille Writer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
The other thing...
Abstentions? That's okay. Go ahead.
I think we should probably get one profile in instead of two.
Yes.
Is Debbie Berry in the room?
Yes.
Do you want to do one, Debbie?
Does anybody else want to volunteer?
You and Mike have been doing them. I don't really care who does them. I'm just. Does anyone want to do a want to write a profile? Mike says he will, and Linda Burrell said she was willing to be interviewed. Did you get that name, Mike? Linda Perrell, our recording secretary, our corresponding secretary, said she would be willing to be the person profiled. Okay.
She is president of the San Francisco chapter.
Too. In fact, my opinion is she's a rising star in CCB.
Whereas you are a setting star.
I've said.
Don't talk about my spiritual mother that way.
Does anyone have any question about the Braille Writer or any suggestions to offer me that would improve it for you? I do want to try to keep it a meaningful magazine and not shorten it too much, because the people who can't come to conventions get, for their $20, just those two issues a year. And
close
I think we have to...
Is there a door we can close or
Rex,
something?
Rex, are you still here?
It's awfully noisy.
Is Rex still here?
We need to close the
Yes.
Door.
We just said that. Is there any other discussion on the Braille Writer? Okay, the next item is,
We are all member women, too.
Huh?
Yes.
The consideration of letter writing campaign to BANA regarding adaptation of uniform Braille codes encompassing technical and scientific writing.
Linda, may I intrude for one moment? I'm about to start the collection that we agreed upon to give money for supporting a student to come to the Braille Challenge. Now, I kind of overthought this task. I thought that last night I'd wait until today, until there were tons of people in the room, and it looked like there were tons of people in the room last night and fewer today. So what I would like to do is go around now and at the end of our meeting make a public announcement for any stragglers who came in later to donate at that time. So I'm on my way.
Okay. You're going to the luncheon, Linda?
Yeah.
Oh, the luncheon.
Might, luncheon, do it there?
Yeah.
You might do that too.
Are you collecting air too at the lunch?
I'd like to ask Jerry Arakawa if he minds if we announce that, since a lot of the people who come to that luncheon are not necessarily members of BRLC, but they might be willing to contribute to the challenge anyway.
It's listed as Kahlua BRLC.
I know, but Jerry gets pushed out of shape if we take over too much, so it's better to consult him.
Hey, he's a rehab guy. He needs to be pushed around. I wanted to just, if I might, Madam Chair.
Sure.
While Linda's collecting, just mention a couple things. One is that our local chapter, the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, is participating in the local preliminary to the Braille Challenge in a couple of ways. One is we're providing some volunteers, some scorers and things like that, and we're also going to have a table there where we tell people about our chapter, and we're giving $500 toward the preliminary for the Braille Challenge. This is going to be on March 7th at Stanford University, and it's the Vista Center is doing it. You know, last year it was the Lighthouse. I think the Vista Center, the Lighthouse, and the Society for the Blind in Sacramento are jointly sponsoring this Northern California one, and they're trading. It's going around to those agencies. The other thing that I wanted to mention that I think is just neat, just because it's neat and it's related to the Braille Challenge. In fact, I think this lady was a Braille Challenge person, a Braille Challenge winner or whatever. There's a woman that I just found out about recently named Nicole Torcolini, who's from Washington State. And while she was in high school, she wrote a program that turns Nemeth code Braille into, if any of you know what LaTeX is, it's a markup language that can be used to make really pretty print mathematical notation. As one of our LCA parents said, it's as pretty as a spring morning. So that means that parents and kids can write their math on their Braille note or whatever in good Nemeth code, and it can be turned into really pretty, sighted teacher acceptable print math. Turns out that Nicole is now a freshman at Stanford. And anyway, when she was in high school, she wrote this program. She created a company to sell it and a website. And, you know, she takes payment. I think she charges $99 for it or something like that. Anyway, I've invited her to speak at the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind in November, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I told her that, you know, we wanted to support what she's doing and really want to learn about her, how she got so smart and everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gee, I wonder if she wants to speak at our convention, at our meeting.
Well, I'm hoping that I can get her to be a member of our chapter and, you know, get her involved.
Tell me where I was sitting.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's great. It'd be great if she could speak at our meeting at the convention in April.
We'll see if we can We'll see if we get her hooked.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah.
So I'll keep in contact with you, Roger, about that, if we can do that. But you commented last night about it. The letter writing campaign to Vanna regarding, you know, the adaptation of uniform Braille code.
I don't want to lose my seat again, so I think I'll try from here. Not very much. The Unified Uniform, Memphis Uniform Braille System, books are now ready to be examined by Vanna. Vanna's going to meet in November, and Joyce Hall, who is sort of the communicator for Dr. Nevers on this program, got in touch with Judy Dixon, who is the chair of Vanna, and asked her to find out in November who would like the books in Braille and who would like the print. Now, in Braille, there are 8 volumes, but they're only on one side of the page, so they're reading only 4 volumes. Yep. She did them that way because some transcribers in Braille with a different phone issue. Not that level. And anyway, someone needs to learn only what part of the code that he or she needs to know. You don't have
to. It's a need-to-know basis.
Yes.
We hope that Vanna will develop them a system for how they're going to judge these books. There was a resolution passed in the American Council of Blind and Assembly in the Braille Writer in August, stating that we require or ask Vanna to examine the code thoroughly, as an attachment, that's not our business, but to ask them to examine it thoroughly and to report on it to us next year. Anyone who wants any information on the website or wants more material to look at, tell me, and I'll be happy to look at it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Wynn. I think you're done now. Okay. Is there anything on fundraising, or are we just doing this for now, Wynn? I'm sorry, I forgot.
If you want to go to raffle, we certainly need a fundraiser. We just can't come up with that. And if we do a raffle, we can send out books to every member and ask them to take them. I would suggest that we offer a money prize rather than something specific to either sighted or blind people, because I guess you get better mileage that way. If you think we want to do that, that's up to you. I honestly don't know what to do.
How does everybody feel about a raffle?
Michael Burke.
Yes.
Raffle would work with us. Is a good draw.
Does someone who just spoke? Is that Mike Keithley? John?
Motion that we have a raffle for the
treasurer. You better get to know his voice.
Yeah. I know. I got to get to know your voice, John. we'll have to, you know. Okay, I'll call you or something.
Sure.
So John made a motion that we do a raffle, and I'm sober, folks. Anybody? I know. Okay, that was Larry Freeman. Thank you. Okay, all in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried.
Would you designate a committee? So
yes, I'm going to do that. Yes, so I think we only need about 3 people on the committee. So John, you're on it. Anybody else want to do it with him? And when? And who? One more. We need one more person.
Is this regarding
Sandra?
Yes.
Fancher. Okay, so we have John, Wynn, and Sandra. Okay, fine. That was easy. Great. Okay. Is there anything else that we need to talk about before? I'm gonna do it before. Is there anything else? Because I have Rob has an announcement. So, is there anything else we need to talk about? Okay, Rob, here on.
I just wanted to let people know that I'm also here representing Bookshare, and I've got brochures. If anyone has questions about it or needs information or support, you can call me here at the convention. My room is is $770. And
if you're any kind of a student, it's free now, right?
It's also just to, yeah, that's exactly. It's the way it works now is if you're taking any kind of class including adult ed, the service is free. You just have to, in other words, so you have to provide proof of disability and then, you know, indicate the school that you're attending in the grade level, you know, adult ed or college or, you know, whatever. And, of course, all the primary and secondary school.
K-12.
That's all free. Under a grant from the Office of Special Education, Office of Special Education Programs, OSEP, they call it. So that's just, again, it's, I know a lot of people already know about Bookshare, but just in case anyone wants more information, again, they can call me in room 770. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I feel obligated to mention this, at least, even though I'm not sure that, I'm pretty sure that we're not in a position to do very much about it. I wanted to tell you that the new board of, and the new president of BRL nationally is Judy Dixon from Texas, and she's a real hotshot fundraiser. Judy Jackson from
Texas.
From Texas, and she's working on all kinds of stuff and hoping that a lot of us will participate for Louis Braille's birthday. You know, this is in January 2009 is the 200th anniversary of his birth. And we're going to try to have some things going on around the country. What she is doing in Texas and recommends to other people is to get hooked up with a Barnes & Noble store or another major bookstore like that and get some people, like she said, some of the young folks, the kids that can read Braille well, like the Braille Challenge people, to come and read to younger children at the store in one of their reading times. And she's got some other, you know, some other things like that she's doing. And I don't know, as I say, it looks to me like our chapter is not very well functioning in terms of doing that kind of a project. Again, our local chapter, Silicon Valley, is doing some stuff. We have bought a few copies of A Touch of Genius, which is the biography of Louis Braille, and we're giving them to local libraries and school libraries and so forth. But it needs to be, I think you need to be aware that this is the 200th anniversary of Louis Braille's birth coming up, and I'm afraid we're not as organized as we might be, but we ought to at least observe it. And the National Braille Press has some nice pins and other things to commemorate that.
Can I tell you that the school of the blind is having a big celebration?
Is that right?
Yeah, they're having the War of the Dots.
Ooh. Who are you? I'm sorry, who's speaking? Oh, Joni.
I'm the chairperson of the California Advisory Committee
for the
School for the Blind.
Excellent.
Hi, I'm Joni Patchy, and I'm the Community Advisory Committee chairperson for the School for the Blind. And I'm your education chair here. You guys don't know me very well, but that's what I am. Anyway, what I want to tell you is the School for the Blind is having a, I just heard Thursday, that they're having a big celebration of Louis Braille. They're having, for the kids, they're having the War of the Dots. And it's going to be some kind of competition that they can all gain more dots at, and as they go through their day. They're going to also have skits. And they're going to take the kids, a lot of the kids are going out into the community to read to other kids in public schools. So they are doing a lot.
Is there anyone who would like to work on this?
Is there any way that we
could support that effort?
I can find that out. I could contact Stuart at the school. They are looking for help. They wanted some more people to come and help. So I'm sure that they would appreciate any help we could give them.
Okay, that would be great, Jim.
Could you reach me a microphone?
You have to lean over.
Come on down.
But don't leave her this time.
I just don't know what you're going to think about this, but the Matilda Ziegler magazine for September had a rundown of all of the exhibits at the ACB and NFB conventions. And as always, the NFB, having lots of money, is able to do something that really sounds so nice, and I wish that we could feel that we could join them in this, because it would be a celebration of Braille, but I don't know how you'd feel about it. They have for... I'm sorry?
Excuse me.
Attention.
Does somebody want to say something?
No, it's all right. They're just talking.
Anyway, they have lapel pins, for example, that have a picture of Louis Braille's profile in a manner that portraiture was done in that period, and little dots on some place on the lapel pin that says Louis Braille. They also have note cards that you can get to send to people that have these things on them. These are such wonderful ideas. We don't have the ability. They have a paid office. All of their offices are paid to live in Baltimore and get their whole livelihood that way, so they can do a lot more than we can, because everybody in this organization is pretty much a volunteer. So I don't know what you think about that, but I just wish we could enter into it, because it's such a good way to do it.
The National Braille Press, I saw an announcement the other day. NBP, the National Braille Press, I saw their announcement sent out a couple days ago, and they have a website called louisbraille.com, I believe it was, and they're selling a lot of these items. They've got, the lapel pin that Wynn is... Yes, but it's louisbraille.com.
Not all the magnets already.
That's really kind of concerning to me, at least in this organization, is every year we have a recognition from the governor of the state of California about Braille Literacy Week. And the governor's office, Arnold Schwarzenegger himself, personally signed a Braille copy of the Braille Literacy Resolution. And I think it went out over the connection. And I have not gotten one call of, nobody even bothered to call and say, that is great that the governor did that. That is really great. Yeah. Nobody just seems to care about Braille Literacy Week. And it was on the connection last December.
I remember reading.
So I'm just really concerned that within our own organization, even when the governor went the extra mile to actually Braille on the proclamation for us, which I still have in my office, by the way, sorry.
No, it's okay. That's fine.
Hi, this is Linda. I just want to elaborate a little bit on what Rob said. I got the same announcement from National Braille Press. They are really cornering the market on Louis Braille. They've got lapel pins. They've got bookmarks. They've got note cards. They have a $45 plaque. They've got a free poster. We should really slam them for all the free posters we can get to hang up all over the place. But being a staunch supporter of NBP, I'm sort of proud of them for taking the lead on that issue as well. But there's lots of ways to get Louis out there, and maybe some of our local chapters can pick up on some of the suggestions made today. excuse me. One last thing, just to let you know, So far, I've collected $132 in cash and a $50 check for the Braille Challenge. So, very, very generous group. Thank you.
So one thing that we could all do is try to get our local chapters engaged in this business. And, you know, tell them that it's the 200th anniversary of Louis Braille's birth and that they really ought to do something. Because even though most people don't read Braille, don't use Braille, Braille is a symbol of the blind community, and it's something that we need to be proud of. Louis Braille was a blind guy, and he invented it himself when he was a teenager. Some people said, you know, you could tell the original Braille was invented by one guy who was a teenager, and now, you know, these current Braille codes are invented by committees, and look how much worse they are. Than
Thank you, and I hope everybody can do something. Get a hold of your chapters and you know, really get the word out. I don't have anything else. Yes, we do. So I'm going to adjourn the meeting. First of all, I'm going to tell you what the program is today. We have four people here. It's called... It's about using Braille in the workplace to foster independence. And we have a panel of Debbie Berry, who is a clerk typist. And we have Joan Patchy, who's in the vending.
Joni.
I'm sorry, Joni.
That's okay.
I have it right here. I'm right.
It's okay.
Joni Patchy, who is in vending.
All we have to do is get her to talk a little slower.
and we have Frank Welty. Is he here?
He is here.
Thank you, Frank. He's going to talk about doing things with booths, and because they were so successful, you know, in doing the corner store and everything.
Specify
that's
POOTHS, not
BOOC. Yeah, I wasn't sure what she was saying.
And Dan Kaiser, who is very willing. He responded to me. It was great.
With Braille labels and all the members of the legislature.
He's the director of legislation at CCB. So would you like to? We're going to do it now. So I make a motion, first of all, that we adjourn this meeting. Anybody want to entertain a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, Al seconded. Okay, Al made it and C seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Okay, why don't the speakers come up? And what we're going to do is we're going to have... each person is going to speak about 4 minutes, and then we'll have time for questions. So I'm going to introduce our panel now. There's Debbie Berry and Frank Welty, Joni Patchy, I got that right, and who did I forget? Oh,
Frank.
No, I got him. Dan Kaiser. Sorry, Dan. Okay. Okay, we're going to start with Debbie first.
Good morning, you guys. I'm a little nervous. I don't know why. Maybe I didn't get enough sleep. I've never spoken with in front of BRLC before. But anyway, good morning to all of you. I work for the Department of Veterans Affairs as a clerk typist, which means a transcription, answering the phone, taking messages. I do a lot of email, you know, send emails here and there, doing a lot of transferring of calls. And I use JAWS, but I also, the government was good enough to get me the Braille Alva. And I found, yeah, it's wonderful. I found, even when I was learning the computer, it was a lot easier. I could keep track of where the cursor was.
Can you tell us how long?
Actually, I had the 40 character sell, and then they bought me the 80 character. And actually, it's funny because I prefer the 40 character. I didn't have as much trouble, and maybe it has to do with the security. You know, there's a lot more security patches and maybe that are installed in our system, and maybe that's part of the problem, you know, why I'm having problem. It doesn't have anything to do with the Alva. But anyway, I use them both, JAWS and my Braille, in conjunction. I use the Braille, I guess, if I'm reading something to someone over the phone, and I'm not terribly proficient at reading long, you know, like a paragraph or something. I have to work on that. It's a lot easier reading hard copy than it is reading from a display for me. And as far as instant proofreading, you know, I don't have to run every. I still run the Braille, the spell check, but you know, of course, there's still things that the spell check doesn't pick up. Like, for instance, if you're writing from, you know, I received your letter. I received a letter from you, and you write form. Well, the spell check isn't going to pick that up. So the Braille display is really helpful with that. I do help vocational rehabilitation for the VA, and occasionally we'll make phone calls, follow-up phone calls, and I keep a computer file on that, you know, so that I can just go back to the numbers, and I call and remind them of their appointments with their counselors the next day, and a lot of them don't even show up, even with that reminder. But anyway, that's, you know, that's something. I want to end this, though, because I know I only have 4 minutes. You know, it's nice to have computer files and all this, but I would love to just have a plain old Braille writer or the new Braille writers. And I can just, all right, I don't have to go to this file and this list and this and what did I call this and whatever. I can just, you know, reach over and you know, look on my Braille writer and say, all right, and I can call so-and-so. To me, there's nothing like the good old Perkins.
Yay. Yeah.
Thank you all.
Stay here.
Frank, would you?
I was asked to talk about how the San Francisco chapter in the spring used Braille in our booth that we had at the convention. For those of you that were at the spring convention, you may remember the corner store.
Yeah.
Some of you might have even bought stuff from us. Thank you very much. Well, we had this booth, and we at the corner store, we were selling the kinds of things you might find in a convenience store. We had candies and cookies and sundries such as toothbrushes and toothpastes and deodorants and whatnot. And it was very popular. We did very well with it. And we did something kind of unique. We had on the front of our booth, we laid out a board. Actually, there were pieces of cardboard. And on the cardboard, we Velcroed a sample of just about all of our items. And in front of the item that you could feel in its package was a label, both in print, but in large print and in Braille, along with the name of the item and the price. So if you wanted to know what we sold, instead of having to ask or feel all over the table, you could just run your hand around the front edge of the table to see what was there and ask for what you wanted. We also had prepared price lists, both in Braille and large print, so that if you didn't want to walk along the edge of the table figuring out what's there, you could just pick up a price list or ask us to give you one, and you could look to see what we had, and then you could take that with you and know what we had, so that if the next day you decided, you know, I'm hungry, what do they have at the corner store that I can eat, or oh my gosh, I ran out of toothpaste, where can I get that, and you could look and see, oh, they have it down there, or more importantly, I just ran out of batteries on my iPod, I can't live. And so we had that, and it went very well, and we had a lot of fun doing it, because the other advantage, of course, was that those of us who are not light dependent, I am slightly, but not to the extent that it's useful for reading print, we could manage the store, because in addition to having the Braille price lists, we also had boxes where we kept things that had labels on them so that we could keep the product organized independently. So it not only empowered you, the customers, but it empowered us working in the booth because we had use of the Braille. And it was a very strong example of how Braille can empower a person in a retail setting to do work and handle products, even though the products themselves aren't labeled in Braille. So it was a very powerful thing. I should also mention that, of course, for many years, I was, well, I don't know if I could say many, but for several years, I was the credentials committee chair, and people used to compliment me on how smoothly I was able to give the credentials committee report. And you know what the trick was? I had everything written down on cards in Braille.
Yeah.
So I did use the electronic Braille. That was where I kept, you know, documented changes. But the actual reading in front of the public, or when I was doing chairing the meeting, I was using information on Braille cards, which I found much easier to work with in real time when you're in a hurry. So that's just a clue I can give you, that if you need to give a presentation and you know Braille and you have an electronic note taker, don't use the note taker. Print out your presentation in hard copy Braille and read it. It's a lot easier.
You got that right.
So yes, Braille is not dead. It's a very useful skill. And even if you're, and of course I'm preaching to the choir, hallelujah, amen. Say amen.
Sounds like a revival.
So you know this, but encourage people to. This just reiterates the fact that even if you're not the kind of person that's going to be reading novels in Braille, just knowing the 26 basic Braille characters gives you the power to label things and make yourself so much more effective because you've got that ability. And I should just also add that the corner store is coming back to a convention near you in the spring.
Yay!
I think San Gabriel has one of this.
Yeah, I wonder if they have the Braille.
Hey, I hope so. Okay, let's see. Who gets the mic next?
Okay, Joan. Joni?
Hi. I'm a vendor, and I have the location at 800 Capital and 722 Capital. They're two little snack bars, and all my candy bars are labeled. All the baskets that they go in are labeled in Braille and print.
What?
The chips aren't, because the Frito-Lay comes and he stocks all the chips and he messes them up every time. So you'd go nuts trying to braille it because you'd have to redo it all the time. But I use Dymo tape for all my baskets. And I have on my wall, I have a chart that shows where every drink in the refrigerator goes. It says each door of the refrigerator, and it tells you which row. It starts with number one, the top row, and then how many rows of cans of Pepsi, how many Diet Pepsi, how many Sprite, like that. And so anybody coming in that's totally blind could totally run my location with a price list all in Braille. And, of course, I keep my records in Braille. And I do use a Perkins Brailler on both sides, because if someone has to leave me a note, if something was returned or something was went wrong or something went right, they write all that stuff down. Also, I write my... We have to turn in a profit and loss every month, and so all my profit and loss information, like what I paid out and how much I took in and what the tape reading, register reading was, and my sales tax, all that stuff I write in Braille on the Perkins, as well as my note taker, because as you all know, sometimes they can break down, and I don't want that to happen. I do have a Packmate, and I use it a lot. When I make up my order lists, I have a list that's all made up and all for each company, and all I need to do is put a check mark by each thing that I want to order, or the number of boxes I want to order of each product. And then when the order comes in, when I check out off the order, when it's coming off the pallet, I'd say, what'd you bring me? And he'll tell me, so many of this, so many of this, and I check it off. I take off those numbers. So I have a running order list all the time. And that works good because the delete key is real easy to do, just delete a couple of cells at a time and then and put them on again when I need them for the next time. When the boxes come in from my shipment, I usually get two or three pallets of stuff at a time, $1,600, and my place is tiny. Both of them are tiny. So I have to separate everything out, and I use a barcode reader. I have to separate everything out, and then I label all the boxes and put a date on it because it's very important to know which box came in first so that the product can be circulated properly. So, and then when I have spare time, I read books on my pack from Bookshare. So, but I don't know if that explained everything well enough, but everybody can come in. I had a lot of the BEP, YEP kids, and most of them that I get are totally blind, and they could come in and within a few hours find every product in my store and stock it, and they learn how to stock it. So it's good for them. And if they don't know Braille, they know a little by the time they leave because they got to know some.
So, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How do you handle money?
I have a note teller, which you know doesn't work all the time.
Yeah.
But in my safe, I put it in separate boxes that are also labeled in Braille. And in my drawer, you know, the cash drawer has separate places for each kind of money. And I have to say that I have pretty good clientele in that building. They all like me. If they caught someone stealing, they'd break their face. I mean, they're really good. They're really good like that.
Thank you, Joni. Thank you very much. Dan?
Yeah, hi. My history with Braille goes back to junior high school when I was a high partial and came down with epilepsy and started losing my vision. Turns out I have LCA. And I lost a lot of my vision in junior high, and my resource teacher, Phil Mangold, said, we better teach you Braille. So 2 hours a day for 3 months, I became fluent in grade 2 Braille. And so I was a little skeptical about Braille being a high partial, and now I don't know how I would survive without Braille. And as somebody mentioned, I'm governmental affairs director for CCB, and I'm your main lobbyist, basically. And what I have to do is I have to monitor all the legislation that we're either tracking or that we are carrying or that we're opposing or that we're trying to amend. And so I don't use Braille for that necessarily because it's kind of cumbersome. It's easier for me to go through bills on the computer. But what I do is I have a Braille note that I use for information and referral purposes by the telephone, and then I have a Perkins Brailler. Now, I call my Perkins Brailler my pencil because it's really, if you looked at my Braille, shut up, Ann, if you looked at my Braille on the Perkins, it looks like scratch paper. And that's what I equate the Perkins with my use, is I use it like scratch paper. And I don't care if I have a bunch of blockouts or a bunch of stuff. I don't care. It's scratch paper. But I tell you, that Perkins has saved my life. I had to have my motherboard replaced on my Braille note, $1,264. Thank you very much. And so I was without any sort of INR reference stuff, information referral reference capability. So, you know, I had this stack of, during the 3 weeks it was out, I must have had 35 sheets of Braille right next to me from my Braille writer. So that was kind of interesting. I also have a embosser. CCB bought an embosser for me several years ago, the Romeo and Pro 50, I think. And I use that a lot for if I do have to do finely detailed analysis of a bill and make some changes. And I find that I can remember stuff when I use Braille better than when I get Braille from when I get stuff off a PC. It doesn't stay on my mind as long. I have that tactile connection with Braille, and my brain remembers the shape of the characters, so it kind of the phraseology comes back in my mind in the way that sentence felt. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So,
Braille for me, and also I used to use Braille a lot for labeling CDs and stuff for my home, and now I don't have to waste Dymo tape because we just use MP3 on the computer drive and hooked it up to the speaker. So we saved a lot of money in Dymo tape. But Braille, and I have a 20,000 word speller because I write a lot of letters and I write them on the computer. Fortunately, I have an assistant who can proofread my work because I never have figured out the Microsoft. I don't like the Microsoft spell checker and I don't trust it. So the 20,000 word speller is a great Braille reference. It's to me my best reference because there's these strange words like linoleum and itinerary, and I can never get the spelling of those kind of words. So that's where the speller really helps. And I Braille on my business cards for the legislature, and they can see what Braille is like. And I give a Braille alphabet cards to a lot of people in the Capitol, and they love freebies like that. Thanks. I guess that's it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I'd like to publicly congratulate my wife for becoming the Braille teacher at the Sacramento Society for the Blind.
Hey.
Okay, Dan, I have a question. We're going to take a few questions. Where did you get the 20,000 word speller? How do you get a hold of that?
Okay, I think I got it from the American Printing House.
And is that what?
Is it called the?
I got it years ago.
Is that what you call it?
Is it called
the 20,000 word speller?
Oh, okay. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
It's not a dictionary per se.
It's just a speller. It has the word. Then it has the word sounded out with the dash, and it's misspelled so that they misspell the word so you can sound. It's like how it sounds.
Right. Phonetically. Okay.
Right.
Oh.
I have a question for Joan. First of all, Joni, first of all, it sounds like you're just terrifically organized and what you would have to be for the job that you have. But I know... You know, since I work in a government building, we used to have a little, like a snack bar. It was like a miniature 7-Eleven. And, of course, that's gone down by the wayside in lieu of vending machines. And, of course, that's really a problem because there's no way to make those accessible.
Oh, there is.
To us. There is?
There
that's
is.
That's what I was going to ask.
There is a way to make snack machines.
Yeah, well, okay, the question is, there is a way to make it accessible, and has that been a threat in your job to replace what you're doing with vending machines?
No, because, my people like me, and I dance, and we have Friday parties, and we have happy times at my place, so they don't want to replace me with vending machines. But, you never know. But there are ways, most vending machines, you can put a sheet of Braille on one part of the machine so that you'd know which corresponding letters to push for what product. And you could Braille, of course, you could label the buttons on a Pepsi machine or even for a frozen food machine, you could label some of it, as long as you know which buttons to push. The cold food machines, the ones that deliver sandwiches and stuff, mm-hmm. those would be impossible because they're rotating.
Yes.
So you'd have to have help with that. But most machines you could label. There's no reason why you couldn't put a reference sheet by it and then label the keys and just change that reference sheet when you're about to change a product. It's not hard to do.
I have a comment.
Who is that?
It's Ann Kaiser.
Ann.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can corroborate everything Jody said because I worked for her for a while, including the Friday parties and the dancing and everything else. She is so organized, and that place is there. it's just the tightest little ship you can ever imagine, and to this day I am so impressed with how she does it. I was a vendor before, but I didn't have a clue about the type of organization that Joni has, and you know, I really enjoyed working there.
Oh, we had fun.
Good job. We had fun.
We got free corn nuts.
Is there any other questions for anybody? We could take like three more questions.
Madam President?
Yes.
Maybe if we don't have any more presents, any questions, Anne could tell us something about the people she teaches at the Second Mile Society.
Okay. Let's. Okay. We'll take a couple of questions, and then I think we can squeeze Anne in. That'll be great. Oh, anybody have a question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Who is that?
Nancy Younger.
Nancy.
Hi, I have a question. You know, filling out forms is a real problem, and I'd like to be able to, you know, read the Braille and talk. But is there anything coming on the market where people can fill out forms independently without them? I mean, sometimes they're online, but not enough.
You know what, I think the Braille display helps. My packmate has a Braille display that comes off, so I can use it on the computer, because I'm not really good with JAWS, but at least I know where the cursor is, so when I write something, I know it goes in the right place. So I think that if you go online and you have a Braille display, it would be a little bit easier.
I have a Braille display. I just thought it's hard to fill out. Forms aren't accessible. People can't fill out forms online.
I have.
Okay. Anne, while you're up there, would you come on up and give us about a 4-minute? Okay. Well, I'm just saying you got about 4 minutes. Okay. She's going to talk about her experience teaching at what? I forgot what you said. Where are you teaching? Sacramento Society for the Blind. And
Come around.
And tell me, because I'm interested in doing that. How did you get? I find it really interesting. I've learned Braille when I was 6, and I wanted to teach, and they said I had to be, you know, qualified, certified. And so I thought, well, I'm qualified, but I'm not certified. So I thought that was interesting.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for having me here. I just for the record, I want you to know I just joined. I gave Rex my check. It's probably his last check he'll get, or maybe not. Let's hope not. But anyway, so I'm now an official member of BRLZ, and being that I am in the field, I feel I would be totally remiss if I did not do that. So, kind of interesting history. I've done Braille instruction way back in the, well, I'll tell you about this may take 4 minutes, actually, now I'm thinking about it. I got a call one day when I was a 21-year-old college student in San Diego. Out of the blue one day, I got a call from my good friend Don Queen, who all of you, I'm sure, know, asking me, do you know Braille really well? You're very proficient in Braille, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm good enough, I guess. And he says, and you also speak Spanish, don't you? I said, yeah, pretty well. And he said, well, the Lions Club of Tijuana just contacted me, and they're looking for some folks to come down and volunteer a couple of days a week at a school for the blind they're opening. And I said, oh my gosh, wow, what an interesting thing. Well, I'll go down and give it a shot. So we went down on Saturdays, and we had one weekday that we went out in the afternoon. So, and we'd spend like 4 hours down there working with primarily adults. But the interesting thing was, I thought, God, I'm clueless. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll give it a shot. Well, it turned out I had two students that had never gone to school before. So I'm thinking, what do I do now? What do I handle this? This is a situation where we're not only learning the letters, but we're doing phonics. And phonics in a language that, you know, a second language for me. So somehow I did it, and I just kind of went into the depths of my mind and said, okay, how do I do this? Well, surprisingly enough, I did it. And I can't tell you what's become of these folks. I have no idea. This has been like 30 years ago. So I over 30 years ago. So I don't have any idea what's happened to them. But they did all. They did learn to read Braille very well, to write Braille very well, in Spanish actually. But one of them did end up going to the Braille Institute for a year, and his English got quite good too. So, like I say, I've totally lost track of him. But I was proud to say this was my student that I had to sit there and think about. Okay, we aren't even. We're way beyond the thing where we can just say A B C D E. No, we're saying how do we pronounce these letters? How do we pronounce these letter combinations and that kind of thing? So, pretty cool. So several years later, also in San Diego, the Braille instructor at the time, who had been at the Center for the Blind down there for many, many years, became seriously ill, and I ended up taking her job for a while, a couple of years, and then I ended up making a couple of moves and moving away from that area, but many, many years I kept thinking, I'd love to get back into Braille teaching. I really enjoyed it. I did it well enough. Obviously, my students all learned it, so I guess I was doing something right, even though I wasn't certified. And to this day, I'm not certified, but I'm in the process of going there. But, so the job came up in Sacramento about 6 months ago. Actually, it originally came up about 8 months ago. I applied for it. I came in second. The person that got the job was a young lady about, I would say, late 20s, mid to late 20s, about the age I was when I was doing it. And she decided to move on to another department, so the job came open again. And I applied once more, and this time I got it. So my students range from 20s to, well, I guess there's no age upper age limit, but my oldest student is 64, I believe. About half of them are diabetic. A couple of them have RP. A couple of them have some really rare eye conditions. But and they, you know, I have four of them are African American, and two of them are actually now only one of them is Hispanic, and the other three are Caucasian. But the interesting thing is, I did at one time have three students that were not only learning Braille but learning English. So that was a kind of another challenge that I was kind of helping them with English grammar and spelling and pronunciation along with the Braille thing. So that's kind of the you know my situation there in a nutshell. I have we teach 2 hours per student, which is really one hour and 45 minutes per student, and then and we get a 15-minute break to kind of do a quick lesson note and whatever, and another student. So it's usually four students a day. So that's enough. Anyway, that's my story. Thank you very much.
Yeah. What is the certification process?
Where this mic's falling apart. It is through the. It used to be through NLS. Now it is through a board, which can't remember the acronym now. I just got some information on this last week. They were going to have a test, a certification exam at the school for. Well, they are. The point is they are. But the point is I got the information kind of late and missed the deadline for applying, but I'm hoping to do that next time it comes around. Wherever it is, I will go. The deadline was a week ago today, and it's also a $250 application fee. So we will definitely be looking into that very, very soon, and I'll probably be making the phone call, calling the current organization that's handling this whole thing now, and getting on into the process. And it's something I can do kind of on my own time, so that's a good thing. I don't have to go to a class or go to college or anything like that. I can just get the whatever study materials I need and do it at home on my own time, or do it at work when I have free time, which is not often, but occasionally. So that's it. Any other questions?
Anything else for anybody?
Can I have a quick question?
Okay, hold on, Debbie.
I don't think anybody will be able to answer this because it's so new, but I want to ask anyway about this new Perkins Braille writer. Has anybody seen it? Or is it too new?
Yeah, I just heard about it recently, too, so I don't know.
Okay, Debbie?
Yes.
I haven't handled them personally, but I talked to people who had them. My understanding is that they're lighter in weight, that they do not take the 11, the square paper.
Right.
They only take the 8
by
11.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, they only take the 8 and a half.
They do require a less hand pressure. That's what I've heard.
And they're quieter. Which is, yeah. I had gotten a blurb on it recently. It was in my my mailbox. But I was just wondering if anybody personally, yes?
No, she's calling.
Oh, okay.
And I also know that the margins, I think, are on the front now. They don't have to go into the back in order to get your margins set.
I heard
it's
keep your purpose, keep your own.
Yeah. Okay, we have time for just one more question.
I got a question about that Braille. You say to be a certified Braille teacher, you have to take what kind of a test is it?
It's a Braille competency test.
It's a Braille competency test.
Well, the School for the Blind was doing it.
School for the Blind, where?
In Fremont. There's going to be one in Southern California. If you look at Braille and Teach, you'll see it on the Braille and Teach site.
Or could I call Braille Institute and they might tell?
Yeah, they probably can tell.
Is it Braille and Teach? Is it Braille and Teach.com?
Yeah.
Braille and
Teach.com. Okay. You have to have a number to get into it.
Oh, you do?
Oh. But you can get it from the clearinghouse. They'll give you one.
Okay.
Anyways, I think it's going to come to Southern California. When I find out, I will make sure that Winifred knows, and then maybe she can tell you. I don't know how to get into the guy.
You might be able to put in the, Braille connection.
Okay,
yes.
I'll do that. When I find out when it's going to be, I'll put it in. It's going to be in down here somewhere, like in the spring.
Okay, and then the BrailleandTeach.com, you have to have something to get into it. You said
you have to go to the clearinghouse and they give you they
password.
It's not a password, but I don't have to put a password in, but they do something so you can get in.
And how do you get to the clearinghouse?
You just call them. You can call them. They're in Sacramento.
And it's
the Braille. It's the it's what the students use for education.
It's called the clearinghouse?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's for the K through 12 kids.
Okay.
But they have a lot of information on there.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I want a round of applause for Joni and Frank and Dan and Debbie for doing, and Anne for being an impromptu speaker, for doing such a wonderful job today. And the next, the meeting is, there's going to be a Kahlua meeting at 10:45, and Jerry Arakawa is the president. And where is it going to be at?
Well, the program says San Diego, San Diego,
and the lunch is in the same room.
I know. So I don't know what they're doing, because they can't have a lunch.
I'm wondering if it's here.
I thought it was here.
I thought that the... They set up for the luncheon, but I don't know where. Is it here? Is the?
It's in San Diego too.
Okay, and so is the meeting also.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for coming.
Can I make one more?
Oh, okay. Linda wants to make an announcement.
Anyone in the room that I have yet hit up to get up to the Braille Challenge, this is to send a young person from
Braille. Oh, I'll introduce. My daughter goes to the Braille Challenge.
Great.
Welcome.
Oh, great.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming.